Praise the Lord. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want to read a little scripture here. Now then, in the book of St. Luke, over in the 11th chapter, the 39th verse, and the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravining and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that make that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seat in the synagogue, and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers kill them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your father. For they indeed kill them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth, that they might accuse him. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will full warn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's reading quite a bit of scripture here. And with this, I am reminded of the statement that Brother Charlie made today. He was speaking to Nieder and instructing Nieder in the things of God. And as he did, he was telling her that the thing that we needed to do was fear God. Fear God. This is the beginning of wisdom, is to fear God. And the last thing that I read here, Jesus speaking to us himself, our master himself, exhorting the people and relaying this message to us, telling us to fear God and to keep his commandments. Solomon said, to fear God and to keep his commandments, he said, this is the sum or the essence of the whole matter. And I believe that the whole thing concerning God is to start with the fear of the Lord in your heart. If a man cannot get the fear of God within his heart, he'll never have a success with the Lord Jesus. Now, he may come to church and he may find a position in Christ, and he may find a position in the church, and he may do well. But if he doesn't get the fear of God, he'll never be successful in the thing that he set out to do as pertaining to eternal life and satisfying God. Because it takes the fear of God to control us and to keep us in the mind and in the will of God. Many times my personal desire would have overruled the mind of God, and my personal desire would have separated me from the things of God if I had not had the fear of the Lord Jesus in my heart. But being afraid that I would be lost, and being afraid of the wrath of God, and being afraid of the supreme power and judgment of God, I found myself praying and fasting and consulting with Christ to try to be sure that what I was doing was pleasing and right in the sight of God. Now, you might do a lot of things, but the thing is whether or not it is pleasing in the sight of God. Did you know that God is a God of integrity? God is a God of His Word, and God expects people to be people of integrity, and He expects people to be a people of their Word. In other words, if you tell somebody something, God expects you to stand behind that thing. You know what makes you do that? The fear of God. The fear of God. There's some people that say things and never think about it twice. After that, they just say it, and then they never think about it again. This very thing, I learned today, this very thing is causing trouble here among the brethren. And in the camp here, we're having problems with people saying things, and after they say them, they don't think anything about them. They just don't think about what they say. They just say whatever comes to their mind, and they make obligations to each other. They make promises to each other, and they say that they're going to do certain things, make commitments to each other, but they lie and do not the truth, Paul said, and it causes trouble. It always does. A man stood on the street just the other day. He promised me he was coming out here to the church. There was a certain thing that I asked him to do. He said, I'll be there. I perceived that the man was not being truthful with me. I turned to him and I said, are you sure that you'll be there? Are you sure that you'll be there? He said, I will be there. But he lied. He lied. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, something could have come up. I know that it could have come up. Something could have come up. But the thing is, the man should have let me know if something come up. You say, well, he couldn't. Well, there was a telephone call made, and he let me know some other things. Why could not he have let me know that? Now, he could have, for the protection of his word. Our word's important, people. Amen. When we say something, then we ought to stand by it. Even in the council here, sometimes we get together and we make a commitment to each other, and then we break our word. We break our word. We've had commitments here concerning some things, like putting in the septic tanks and different things. Some of them have not so much as given anything on it. That is the broken word of your commitment. That's a shame, my brother, to do a thing like that. Somebody said, well, I just said it. But you've got to remember that you said it to the body of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you've not lied unto man, but you've lied unto God. Amen. And I'll tell you this, if it wasn't for the fact that some of you are still in a state of spiritual ignorance, you'd fall down there just like Ananias and Sapphira did. Amen. If it was just a plotted thing, as it was with Ananias and Sapphira, you'd receive the same penalty. But because you didn't plot it beforehand, God has mercy on you. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing when you break your word to your brother. Some of you are making telephone calls. Some of you are going to the houses and making telephone calls. And so you ought not to mention that. It's my job to mention this. Amen. You go make telephone calls, and then you make a commitment to the brother, and you don't keep your word. And it causes the brother to lose confidence in you. That's not right, my brother. My sister, you make commitments to for indebtedness to people out here. You make commitments to the businessmen up here. And the Bible tells us not to be slothful in business. But because you don't have the proper fear of God, you let those things go, and you bring a reproach on the body of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You ought to pay your bills. Amen. And you say, Brother Pike, do you mean that nobody should never get behind with their bills? I didn't say that. But I think that even if we get behind with them, we can pay them sometimes. Amen. We got brothers here on the place that doesn't no more give to the work of God than anything. That's right. They paid their bills. They look after their families. And they use an excuse every time they come, saying that I ain't got this, or I haven't got that, or I couldn't do this, while somebody else comes and does do it. And maybe they're not in as good a shape as somebody else that talked his way out of it. You say, Brother Pike, what's going to happen when people do these things? You are not going to prosper. You are not going to be blessed. When others have the blessings of God, it will still be nipped and tucked with you. Somebody says, now, Brother Pike, you're just guessing. My dearly beloved brother and sister, I am not guessing. This is a voice of experience that's coming out to you. This is not something that I dreamed up. It's not something that I tried to figure out from an intellectual point of view. This is a proven thing in my life in watching people over a period of time. They that covered their sins will not prosper. Some of you wear long dresses. In my presence, coming here, you and your children wear long dresses, and this I appreciate, because it's the way it should be. But you hypocrite, you go your way and dress the way you want to. You testify in my presence of the love of God, and tell me how much you love God, and then go your way and do the way you want to, and say the things you want to. You know why you do that? You don't have the fear and reverence of Christ. You don't have the fear of God. Your word doesn't mean anything. Your commitment doesn't mean anything. Do you think that you're dealing with me? Do you think that you've got to answer to me? I'm just the voice of 1 John, just crying in the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord, to keep his path from being crooked. Amen. But I tell you something. As John said, there's one that's coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Amen. John said, this is him that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. His fan's in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his flour. Amen. Gathers wheat into the garners and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. You say, Brother Pike, who are you talking about? Some individual. God have mercy on your poor, tiny, finite mind to think that any individual could come right there. I'm talking about God. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus. Somebody said, you're talking about a great prophet. No wonder the Bible said silly women. Silly men too. I'm not talking about some prophet to come. I'm not talking about some person to come. I'm talking about God. We're on the verge of the rapture. We're on the verge of Jesus Christ taking us out of this world. There's not going to be any special person that's coming. God is giving you your last warning. And you're going to have to straighten up your crooked path and your crooked ways, or God's going to burn you with unquenchable fire. When you make a commitment, you're supposed to keep that commitment. Why don't you do it? Because you don't have the fear of God. The fear of God's not in you. Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees one time, he said, the fear of God is not in you. The way that some of you preachers live, the way that some of you live, and the things that you do, and you act like a little two-year-old child in your foolishness. You act like a little two-year-old child in your business transactions. You act like a little two-year-old child in your word commitment and the things that you promise. And then to say that you're God's man, sent forth to teach a people and to lead a people when you've not gotten out of your spiritual diapers. And then not to want to listen to another preacher. Not to want to hear another preacher. Not to want to sit under another ministry. Some of you don't even work. You haven't even got enough field bands to work and make your family a living. That's right. Amen. You're like a tadpole from one pond to another. Amen. You can't stay on a job. You can't work. You have no endurance. The Bible said contentment and godliness is great gain. If you've got godliness, my brother, then add to it contentment.
Bible said that's great gain. But somebody that can't be at rest in their home, they can't be at rest in the church, they can't be at rest anywhere they go. And then you say you're called to preach. Make a commitment to somebody to pay a debt. Don't even as much as go by and explain to them, let alone pay them, and then you tell them you're called to preach. Paul said, can I forbear working? Amen. He did work. Right, amen. Somebody said, I don't have time to seek God and work too. But Paul said, I worked. And he said, I didn't work because I didn't have any power. He said, it's not because I don't have any power. He said, I do have power. But I do it to be an example to you, Paul said, that you might know that you ought to work. And eat your bread with quietness, and said, this I commanded when I was among you. Paul didn't say he requested this, but he had a voice of command. He had a way of doing things, whereas he commanded people to do it. When Peter spoke, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He never requested it. Paul said, this I commanded when I was with you, that if any man would not work, he should not eat. I said, if he won't work, Paul said, quit taking him an offering. Quit giving him anything. Let him go hungry. Somebody said, but there's no buts about it. Paul wasn't mistaken. He knew what he was doing. He knew just as long as you take care of somebody and them not working, that's just how long they're not going to work. Amen. That's right. You could give some people a dozen jobs and quit them every one in a week. That's right. Give them a dozen jobs and quit them every one in a week because they're lazy. They don't want to work. But Paul commanded people to work, to pay their bills, to be alive. When you make a word commitment to your fellow man to stand by it, my brother, to stand by it, my sister. Amen. Praise God. Now on the telephone bills. On the telephone bills. Sometimes I myself send Brother Taylor or one of them down to a place to make a telephone call. And I try my best to be honest about it. If I owe anybody a telephone bill, if they'll tell me, I'll be glad to pay them. If they don't tell me, I feel like they've done me an injustice. I said, if you don't tell me, I feel like you've done me an injustice. Somebody said, well, I just want to give it to the Lord, you liar. Some of you come around and look at me like I've made a telephone bill and won't pay it, and you think I ought to pay it, and you think I'm unclean before God because I didn't pay it. You come to me and tell me about my telephone bills. Amen. If the brethren make them and I don't know anything about them, if they pertain to the work of God, I'll pay my bills. Amen. If I have to dig ditches, I'll make an effort to pay my bills. Now, a lot of these people just don't want you to. They say, well, I just don't say nothing about it. I think it's all right. Sister, I'm still in development, in case you're wondering. Amen. You look at me about a half a dozen times through every service, wondering if I'm in the Spirit of God. Sometimes I'm going to call you out and ask you to stand up. If the people don't know who you are, they will know. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said rebuke before all that others might fear. That's right. Learn reverence in the house of God. Learn to respect the house of God. A lot of times I say that I ask this one to do that, or I sent this person over here to do this, or I told that one to do that, and somebody looks at me like, well, who are you? What gives you the right? Paul did that. Paul had the right to do that. Paul told a man, said, you stay at Ephesus. I'm going to Macedonia. That's right. You stay at Ephesus. Amen. He had the right to do that. My brother, God gives authority to people. He tells them what to do. He gives them the mind of God to show them what to do and what ought to be done. And them that are coming up as spiritual children, he expects them to be parched over and to guide those people. To put the fear of God in their heart. Amen. Praise God that others might fear. Some people get the idea, you know, that just in the church you just do it your way. My brother, in the true apostolic church of the Lord God Almighty, you don't do it anyway. In the early church, when those people got contrary to Paul, when those people got contrary to the Word of God, when those people got contrary to the things of Christ, lives. They called them out by name. And they spoke against them and they become blind. They become paralyzed. You say, well, I don't see anything happening. You better get the scale off of your eyes. People are having problems every day. He said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. I'll trouble them that trouble you. Amen. To reverence my sanctuary, God said, get that old carnal mind of yours out of here. Reverence God's house. Enter into his sanctuary with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Don't sit in the house of God with your own reasoning. The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, but trust in God, or the Lord, with all of your heart. Quit your evil, contrary reasoning. Know ye not that the carnal mind is enmity against God? It cannot please God, and those that are in the carnal mind are contrary to God's ways. The fear of God. The fear of God needs to be in the house of God, my brother and my sister. These things I tell you are needful. They are needful. You need to keep your word. When you tell your brother and sister something, my brother, you need to keep it. That's right. You need to be every bit of man. You need to be every bit of woman. God wants a virtuous bride. He wants a holy wife. He wants one that's pure, one that keeps a word, one that's devoted. If there's anything that I can't stand, it's a woman that flirts with another man. Whether she flirts with me, Dad, or whoever she flirts with. Sometimes I see that spirit trying to come upon my wife, and she becomes detestable in my sight. I can't hardly stand the presence when that evil thing tries to come upon her, that she would notice another man. And I detest you, brethren, just as much when it comes upon you, that you would notice my wife or another man's wife. Amen. And I see some of you do it. I see some of you women do it. We need to be clean. We need to be upright. We're the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be without blame in the midst of a perverse and a crooked generation, that we might be a light unto these people. It was no wonder that Jesus addressed the church world as being hypocrites. No wonder he said, woe unto them. Amen. They stand at the door and they don't go in. The others that would come in, they find fault with them. And you that come among us, you come to me and you say, bless God, there ain't but three Christians down there. There ain't but three Christians. You hypocrite, if you clean your dirty windows, you'd see the love of God. You know that you're the one that's playing the hypocrite. That you're the one that's unclean. That you've got the spirit of fault-finding. There's good people here, holy people, upright people, just people. If you did half as good as they do, then you'd be all right. The Bible said, set not in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the way of sinners. Amen. Scornful, finding fault. Some of you sisters get together and talk about another sister. God have mercy on your muddy mind. You need to use a little clean water to clean the filth out of your mind, to where you can see good and find good. Some of you run around half naked. Amen. I said to you the other day, some of you put on dresses that looks like negligence and don't want to dress right. Or get a pound of foam rubber to put up around the upper part of your body so it'll protrude out like some milk cow. Amen. So some man will lust after you and you both will die and go to hell. Amen. Let a little piece of foam rubber send you both to hell. Amen. What is it? You need to walk right. You need to talk right. It's a shame and a disgrace. I see some mothers even bouncing their babies and flirting with the man. How they do it. They got to twist their body and shake their head every other way. Can't be decent. Can't be clean. Why? Because the devil's got a hold of them. Folks, we need to clean up. It's spring cleaning time. Amen. That's the resurrection. It's spring cleaning time. You need to do some house cleaning. Amen. Your husband may come home. He's gone on a long four journey. But he said, I'll be back. You better get the house clean. Amen. Amen. You say, why? Because the Bible said God's going to send one that will set as a refiner to purify the sons of Levi. Amen. Amen. The Bible said he shall abide in the day of his coming. Amen. You say, what do you mean by the pike? I mean, who's going to be left after this message of God comes forth, who's going to be left? Everybody will be cast aside unless they've got faith in God, unless they're walking right. Who shall abide after this purging? My brother and my sister, we're fixing to go through the last purging. Amen. People have told you not to do this and not to do that. But I'm telling you more than that. I'm not just telling you don't do this and don't do that. I'm telling you not to think this and not to think that. Amen. Get your thoughts right with God. Amen. The Bible said we serve God with our thoughts. Our thoughts are the means to bring every thought into subjection. God is a spirit. He's looking on your thoughts. When you look at another man and you're enticed by that man, or there's a little flicker of admiration in your eyes for that man, you become a harlot and a prostitute. Amen. You just admire him a little bit and he's not your husband. You just find a little admiration. You want a little flicker of inspiration. Amen. Some of you women are bolder than some of the men I got. Amen. I see this thing come upon our women folks, sit and look a man right in the eye, want to start a conversation. It just makes me sick when I see it. Amen. It makes me sick when I see it. The Bible said, let the women adorn themselves with shame faces. Amen. Used to when I was a little boy and went to school. We had a little girl there and they called her shame face. Because every time somebody got next to her, she'd drop her head and she'd turn off. That's what God meant when he said shame faces. But they sat there just as bold and grinning and giggling, looking a man right straight in the face. Nothing shameful about him. Busybodies and paddlers and going from house to house and stirring up trouble and trying to get the wives to believe that their husbands are too strict at them, that their husbands ought to be a little more lenient. Who made you a judge over God's servant anyway? Amen. Praise God. The Bible said, let the word judge you. This is what's going to judge you. When the preacher judges the house of God with the righteous judgment, the word judgment, you got no business doing that. Amen. You got no business doing that. Men running in and out of the houses where ladies are and the men folk not home. You got no business doing that. You ladies got no business messing around like that. Amen. But you need to be holy and clean and upright. Praise God, you need to get straightened out. Straighten your lives out. Straighten your thoughts out. Straighten your doings out. You say, who are you talking to? Every one of you. Glory to God, every one of you sitting out there talking to every one of you. I say every one of you. Somebody said, I didn't think he's talking to me. Well, you just got fooled, didn't you? Because I'm talking to every one of you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, what I say unto what I say unto all. You better watch. There's coming a purging. There's not a one of us in here tonight, my brother and my sister, that can be good enough to get by that purging. They can think we're good enough that we don't need the word of God. Some of us are haughty and hateful and self-righteous and self-centered. Some of you people that call yourself ministers, you're so hard-headed and stubborn and rebellious and protruding, you won't never win nobody to God. Amen, you're self-centered. That's right. Amen. Praise God. You got to have the word of the Lord. You got to have the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have the word of the Lord. Preach the word, Paul said. Be instant in season, out of season. He said, do a little rebuking. Amen. Do a little reproving. He said with long suffering, but he also said with all authority. I said, all authority, hallelujah. Glory to God, some of you preach like you ain't got a backbone. Some of you say something like you're not so sure it's going to take roots after you say it. But I'm telling you in the name of the Lord with all authority, this is a thus saith the Lord from God's word. You straighten up your crooked path or you're going to perish. Amen. Jesus told him one time, he said, just because the Tower of Siloam over here fell on some of them, just because Pilate knew that some of them bled over here with their sacrifice, he said, these weren't the meanest people in the world. Don't you get the idea that this is some wicked bunch of people that the wrath of God's fell on? Just because they've been killed out there in the crashes on the highway, because airplane crashes have taken place, don't think that them is just a bunch of wicked people that's feeling the wrath of God. He said, unless you repent, every one of you shall likewise perish. Amen. A lot of times somebody has a wreck among us. A lot of times something happens to one of us. And everybody wants to point a finger and say, aha, aha, look at him, look at her, they're to blame, they're the guilty party. My brother, sometimes the just suffers for the unjust. Amen. What you need to do is think about God. You need to forget about your smartness and your intelligence and your ability and what you can do, and think about God's word. Quit leaning to your own understanding. You women need to clean up your lives. I said clean up your lives and get them evil, dirty, filthy spirits of lust off of you. Jesus said a sinful and a lustful generation. Some of you just can't help but show your filthy flesh. I said some of you can't help but show your old filthy flesh. Amen. Somebody said, is that Bible? I say a few things and somebody looks at me with a question mark. And then you come to me and tell me you're a Bible scholar. And half the time you're looking at me with a question mark. Amen. That's right. Paul said corruptible flesh. That's filthy flesh. Amen. If that takes the question mark out of your mind, then say amen. Amen. Anything that's corruptible is filthy. If you don't believe it, go out there and find the dead hog and the maggots working in him and see if it ain't filthy. Amen. You need to get away from that corruptible stuff. You need to get away from your nakedness, from your evil. You need to get clean in the sight of God. Somebody said, but I ain't a Christian. I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. You know the truth. The Bible said if you know the truth and you don't do it, the wrath of God will come on you. Somebody, they left to put themselves off by saying, well, I ain't a Christian. I don't care whether you're Christian or not. God didn't send me to preach to Christians. I said, God didn't tell me to come down here and preach to Christians. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said to preach to the creature. I don't care whether you're a sinner or not, or a Christian or not. I'm telling you, you need to straighten up your life with God. You need to get right with God. I tell you that the power of God is going to come upon you and burn your fields with judgment. I'm just telling you, people that call yourselves Christian, it'd be even the more so. That's right. You say, now, Brother Pike, you can't prove that. Another question mark. The Bible said judgment begins at the house of God. That's with you people. Amen. Who did it start with in the nations, my brother? Tell me. Is that right, Brother John? Why? Because there was a church. The Bible called them the church in the wilderness. In a type of a spiritual thing, it started with the Jews. God brought his judgment upon them first. The rest of the nations thought they had escaped it, but I'm afraid that they overlooked the word of God. Now then, they're fixing to see whether they escaped it or not. You following what I'm saying? Amen. Some of you women, it's busybodies and other people's matters going about from house to house. You need to stop it. Some of you women that think you're called to preach. Got it in your mind you're called to preach. And no matter what I say up here, no matter what I tell you up here, you still got it in your mind you're called to preach. God don't call women to preach. Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor your serve authority over the man, but to be silent. Now you explain to me what the word silent means. He said to be silent. I don't know how you're going to be silent and preach. I don't know how you're going to preach without taking authority when he said rebuke with all authority. And said, I don't suffer a woman to have authority over the man. He said for her to be silent. Amen. Why did he say that? He said, because she was deceived and the man wasn't deceived. Somebody said, are you going to go back and bring up that old thing about Adam and Eve? Yes, I'm going to go back and bring up that old thing about Adam and Eve. God brought it up. Paul brought it up. I'm going to bring it up too. Paul put it in the New Testament. He said the woman was deceived. Who's being deceived today? The woman. Amen. Women in politics. That's right. Women everywhere. But in the kitchen where they belong. That's right. Women everywhere. I said women everywhere, but where they belong. Amen. The Bible said the woman was deceived. It didn't make no F and N's about it. It said the woman was deceived. So then if it said the woman was deceived, it said the woman was deceived. Now you can change it if you want to, but I'm not going to alter it, nor add to it, nor change it. He said the woman was deceived, and she was in the transgression. But it said the man was not in the transgression. Somebody said, bless God, the man was in the transgression just like the woman was. Where did you read it? I said, where about in the Bible did you ever read that? It didn't say a thing about it. It said the woman was in the transgression. She's the cause of every wrong, of every ill, of everything that's ever been done wrong. She's the cause of it. I said she's the cause of it. Now that's why the Lord said let her be silent. Because if she calls it one time, she'll cause it again if she don't obey the word of God. How did she cause it before? By not obeying the word of God. By wanting to go her way. By wanting to say what she wanted to say, just like she does today. Her lipstick and her paint and her mini skirts, her shorts and her bobbed hair. That's right. To say nothing about her filthy underneath dressing. Amen. She wants to run the government. She wants to run the home. She wants to flirt with every man. She wants to do it her way. She wants to run the church. You say, what does God think about it? Let her keep silent. That's what he thinks about it. Somebody said, well, Pastor, you say that just like you believe it and mean it. I do. But that's way down in here. Glory to God, that's not a head knowledge. That's way down in here. I believe that. Amen. I believe it because that's what's going to take me to heaven. With the heart, man believeth. What is it? You need to keep silent. If some of you ladies out here keep more silent, we'd have more peace. We'd get along better. We wouldn't have as much disturbance in the home if you quit going over to somebody else's house and telling them what you think about, what they think about, what you think about. I said, if you stay at home and quit going over there trying to tell them what you think about their husband and their way of living, it doesn't matter what you think about their husband and their way of living. That's their business. I said, that's your business. And the Bible tells you not to be a busybody in other men's matters. That's why some of you stay sick all the time. Have so much trouble all the time. Because you can't keep your mouth closed. Amen. The Bible said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion's in vain. I said, if you can't put a bridle on his tongue, this is religion is in vain, my brother and my sister. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't think my husband treats me right. Why don't you go tell him? Well, you say, I have written and told him. Well, did it do any good? You say, no. Well, then go tell the Lord about it. You say, but I've done that and it didn't do any good. Well, you must be in a backslidden condition. The Bible said, ask what you will in my name and I'll do it. Ask him to straighten your husband out and he'll do it. You say, but you don't know my husband. Oh, I'm your husband. I'm a man too. Amen. You go to God and ask God to straighten him out and God will straighten him out. They have to put him in a box and put him on the clay. I said, God will straighten him out. They have to put him in a box and put him on the clay. If he won't listen to him. Oh, you say, God didn't do nobody that way. I'm sure that you're not acquainted with God until the way you think. You don't know the God that I serve because you're not thinking right. God said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Somebody said, the devil get a hold of you. God didn't say anything about the devil. He said, you beware lest I tear you into pieces. Somebody said, God is love. That is love. I said, that is love. To kill a wolf, to keep him from killing the flock, that is love. That's love for the flock. That's love for the flock. Amen. Any man that loves his sheep will get his gun and kill the wolf. That is love, my brother. You just misunderstand love, that's all. That's all. You just don't understand love. So then, so what is it? The fear of God. Where is the fear of God, my brother and my sister? If we had the fear of God, we wouldn't do our fellow man like that. We wouldn't mistreat our fellow man. We'd be honest with our fellow man. We'd tell our fellow man what we thought and what the Bible said. Amen. We'd have a backbone. And we tell them what was right. We'd help them and go tell somebody else. Is that right? Amen. Now, so then, you say, Brother Pike, you're pretty hard on the ladies. No. I'm just telling you what God's Word says about it. That's right. That's God's Word. Now, I've said this and I still say it. A virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. If we got any virtuous women in here, I'm speaking to you. Your price is beyond that of rubies. And I'm not speaking to you concerning those things where if you are a tailbearer and run from house to house trying to run other men's business. You leave my ministry alone here. Let me run it. Glory to God. God will speak to me and tell me what he wants me to do and where he wants me to go. He doesn't need you. That's what causes the trouble now is some woman trying to run somebody else's life. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Amen. If you can't say it, I will. As some of you rebellious wives, and I'm not speaking of them that's got a price beyond rubies, I said rebellious wives. If some of you would submit yourself unto your husband according to the word of God, you'd be all right. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think you're going to heaven with your mouth running and your tongue tied in the middle, as somebody said, and cut loose at both ends, you're mistaken. That's right, like the Chuck Wagon Gang sang, sometimes toddler's wagon. Oh, how I love Jesus, my way to heaven, toddling all the time. Toddling all the time, look like that song enough would have been, that song would have been enough to convert some people just to hear that. Some of you people sang, oh, how I love Jesus at church and didn't go out, and you got your tongue loose at both ends, it seems. Amen. John said, a crooked and a perverse generation. A crooked and a perverse generation, a bunch of toddlers. Busybodies, going from house to house. That's why he told him in one place, he said, I would that the young widows marry. He said, let the young widows marry. He said, because if they don't, he said, they'll be again to wax wanton against Christ, and then they'll commit wrong and cast off their first faith and then have damnation to themselves. Amen. Did you know that in the Bible, you can't even take a widow into the number of the church? They can't even be numbered with the church unless they're at least 60 years old. And then the Bible said they got to be of a good report. Is that Bible? Is that New Testament? Then the Bible said they have to wash the saints' feet. Is that right? And then said they got to be of a good report. They got to have large strangers, that is, be given to hospitality. And then you can receive them. Amen. Said otherwise, said let the other folks take care of them. Don't let the church even have to take care of them. That's right. Some of them get hungry, and some of these people run around just doing their way. They think the church ought to be responsible. My brother and my sister, I try to give to everybody. I try to do everything I can if God will put it in my heart and let me know. But it's not because the church is obligated to give to anybody. You be sure to remember that. Amen. Amen. It's not because they're obligated. God's got rules and standards, Brother Charlie, set up for his people. We're not obligated to go out here and take care of a prostitute, plus you want to run from house to house. Some of you younger women, because the church don't rally and do just like you think they ought to, you go out and you run your tongue and you say things that God's going to pour his wrath upon you for. The church isn't obligated to you. Amen. If you want to be clean and holy and upright and come and number yourself with the saints of God, then I bid you to do so. Mary did. Mary wasn't married, but she lived a clean, holy, righteous life and found favor in the sight of God. You can do it too. I'm not speaking to virtuous women. I'm speaking to tattlers and busybodies. Amen. I hope we ain't got nobody like that here. I said, I hope we don't have anybody like that here. You say, well, how do you talk like that? What'll be people on the radio hear this too? People all around the country hear this too. Amen. You say, well, Brother Pike, that really hurts me. Well, man, you're supposed to be the light sending out the message. We just got through saying, send the light. If you're the light and the lower light that's burning, well, certainly what I said wouldn't dim your light. Because all I'm doing is trimming your wick. Because all I'm doing is just purging a little bit to make your bone feel more fruit. Amen. I don't have anything I said that'll dim your light. Praise God. So then I love you tonight and I appreciate you. We'll preach on to me next time. Amen. Praise God. I love you ladies with all wholeness, reverence, and purity. And I appreciate you, but I just want to let you know where I stand. I want you to know that I don't cater to all this evil and all this putridness and all this foulness. I don't cater to it in my wife. I don't cater to it in other men's wives. Amen. It's wrong, my brother. It's wrong, my sister. That's right. You treat your bodies right. You prepare your bodies right. And the Bible said be grave and be temperate and be sober and be shamefaceless. Dress in moderate dressing. Don't come with an old. Some of you ladies that wear long dresses, you see if you can get the lightest piece of cloth they got in the store. Amen. Look like a sore thumb when you come in the church. That's right. It said dress with moderation. Use a little moderation. Somebody said, well, I do it because it's pretty. No, that isn't right. You do it because you're not sanctified. If you was pure, you wouldn't want everybody staring at you. You'd be moderate. A child's known by its doings. That just shows what street you live on. Amen. Praise God. Now, I appreciate you. Love you. And I guess this is a strange way of telling it to you, but some people just misunderstand love. That's all. Let's everybody stand together. A lot of times, brothers, sisters, we say, we've got to be careful and not hurt anybody's feelings. I know that when we're speaking directly to a person, I realize that. We've got to use wisdom. But let me tell you something. If I don't hurt your feelings, I'll never do you any good. Because if your feelings is wrong, they need to be hurt. Somebody said, I'm afraid I'll hurt his feelings. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll never do him any good or her any good. Somebody said, but what if they run off? They'll come back if they're elect. Somebody said, what if they run off and don't come back? Then what? Somebody said. The Bible said they went out from among us because they was never of us. They were never of us. That's why they went out from among us, that it might be made manifest to the world and all around that they never was a part of us to begin with. That's why God let them go out from among us. Jesus said, Father, I've not lost one. All that you give me, I'll raise them up in the last day. My brother and my sister, you don't lose nobody by preaching the gospel. Amen. Somebody said, but I know a lot of people who left the church. I do too. But I don't know of any elect that left the church. Amen. I don't know of anybody that loved God that left the church. Hallelujah. Praise God, I love you. That's why I tell you the truth. A lot of times you come around and talk to me and you make excuses and you tell me all these things and I say, that's all right. Yeah, I understand, I know, I do. You say, well, you told me you understood. I do. I understand you're a hypocrite. Amen. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you told me to your face that you understood when I didn't do nothing for God. I do. I understand that you're slothful in the Lord's business. Amen. I just don't have a chance to tell you all that. That's right. Somebody will come to me and say, I quit my job. I think, well, that's nothing new. You do that all the time. But I don't tell you that. And I say, you practice that. Somebody say, I owe a bill and I can't pay it. A lot of times I look at you and I think, well, I know a lot of you, Lord, you don't pay. A lot of you live, you don't pay. Somebody said, I'm just struggling to pay my bills and I can't pay my bills. I think, no, you can't pay your bills because the only kind of struggling you do is rolling from one side of the bed to the other, moving from one end of the table to the other. That's the only kind of struggling you do. That's right, you'll never go pay them like that. Somebody said, I just can't do nothing for God to come to me. Say, Brother Pastor, I know you understand because I'm trying. Yes, you are. You're trying. Every time I meet you, you're trying to think up something new to tell me and make an excuse why you didn't keep your obligation to God. You're trying, all right. Let me tell you something, brother and sister. When you try to do something, you can do it. You can do it. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I just can't do it. You're a liar. I said, you're a liar. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And the Bible said, no liar had his part in heaven but in the lake of fire. Amen. Yeah, you can do it. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And the Bible said, my God shall supply all your needs. Amen. Amen. You say, what kind of needs? To help you keep your word to God and to your fellow man. To help you keep your word to God and your fellow man. And I'm going to tell you something here in closing, folks. I love you. God bless you. But you people quit going around telling each other that you're giving me all your money up here. And you can't afford to pay your bills because I'm going to tell you to your face you're a liar. You ain't giving me that much money. That little word was passed down to me today. If anybody's in doubt of it, come up and I'll show you the books. And it just so happens that I know how much it come into your home and how much you give up here. And you spent hundreds of dollars while you gave me some up here. I said, you spent $100 and then led the people to believe it. I took too much up here. I didn't ask you for what you give. You gave it because you wanted to give it. But don't make an excuse by neglecting your bills up here to pay your bills, my brother. Pay your bills. Some say, well, I can't pay my bills and give to you. Well, you keep it and pay your bills. I said, you keep it. I got enough faith to believe God will give me. Somebody will give to me that can pay his bills and still give to me. Amen. So if you can't give me and pay your bills, you pay your bills. Amen. I mean it. Praise God. There ain't no need to give it to me and let your bills go. It won't do me no good out here. If I build a church to the testimony of your goodness and you tear it all down and not paying your bills, well, we're laboring in vain. That's right. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying, folks? I'm not trying to be mean, not trying to be contrary, but Paul said, great plain is his speech. Not trying to offend you, but tell you just like it is. Amen. And I believe you're supposed to pay your bills. Praise God. You love the Lord? Say amen. Amen. I believe you love the Lord. Amen. I was just thinking today and talking with somebody today of how inconsiderate a lot of times one is to another. We were speaking of being stewards, and I think sometimes that our people get the wrong idea, Brother Bob, about having all things common. And they get to believing, Brother Charlie, that you're obligated to do things for them when they're not even half trying. And we get the idea that we can just take over a person's home or their property or their car or their substance to our own convenience and not consider the fact that God has made them a steward over that piece of property. That God has made them a steward over their home. And God has made them a steward over their money. And that if you want their substance for the gospel, you have to go through them to get it. Because the Bible said, what is mine, it's lawful for me to do what I will with it. And we were speaking today of evangelists. Some of them that tell you that you've got to come and write them out a check for all you've got in the bank. That means a lie. You don't have to do that. God never told him to tell you that. Amen. And tell you that God's going to kill you if you don't give him all the money you got. That man's a liar. Amen. God never told him to do that. God's kingdom would be divided if he told him that, because he told you in the Word that what's yours is lawful for you to do what you will with it. Amen. And God never told anybody to tell you that. He told that man to preach the Word, and the Word says it's lawful to do what you will. I appreciate people that will do like they did in the early apostolic church. Sell all they got. Come and lay it down at the feet of the apostles. I don't appreciate people that promised it all to God and hold back a part of the price like Ananias and Sapphira did and come with excuses and lies. Peter said before you ever promised it to God, it was yours to do what you would with. Amen. That's what the Bible said. But after that you promised it to God, the sin was that you made a promise and you lied to the Holy Ghost. That was the sin. Not holding back the price, that wasn't the sin. But the sin was lying to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Why has Satan put it in your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Folks, don't lie to the Holy Ghost. What's yours is yours. Don't you get in a service and let somebody scare you half to death, cause you to have to give your car and give your home and give your children's food and give the money that you owe to debtors and other things away. Somebody said, well, Brother Park, that's the way they carry the gospel. My brother, the Bible said, they that preach the gospel, let them live the gospel. If I got enough faith to stand out here and preach to you, that's right. If I got enough faith to tell you what you ought to do, then I ought to have enough faith to believe God to meet the needs. Amen? That's right. That's the way I see it. Now that if you want to give, God bless you. And you ought to give. You ought to give your all to God. I believe that. Everything to God. Not a tenth of it, not a part of it, but give your mind and heart and soul and substance and everything else to God. And I believe when a man gets a good case of old-time religion, he will. I don't think you'll have to make him do it. He will. Amen. He'll do it. Praise God. But I just want to let you know where you stand so that somebody don't take advantage of you. I want you to know the truth. Know the Word of God. It'll make you free. Don't sit in a man's service and shake and shiver all over just because that man's got some idea or something or is telling you something. Somebody said, well, he'll have to come off of the radio or he'll have to get rid of his tent. Well, if he ain't got enough faith to keep it, that's what he needs to do. He ain't got no business on our start wheel. Somebody said, but he's preaching the gospel. Not unless he's preaching faith and living by faith. Amen. To preach faith, you got to live by faith. To preach faith, if you can't live faith, it ain't worth a dime to the ones you're telling it to. That's right. There hasn't been first partakers.